Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Losses Above Replacement, the greatest baseball podcast to grace your ears. I'm today's host, Matthias Altman Kurosaki, and with me, as always, we have my amazing co-hosts, Alex Clark and Ryan Splashpots. Gentlemen, first things first, how are you doing on this fine Monday afternoon?
You know, honestly, doing pretty good. Had a couple of bad things happen recently, but that's okay. It's tax day on the day of recording this, so had to get that taken care of. But at the same time, like on Saturday, I competed in my first ever golf tournament since high school at the very least, and I am still riding the high of it. It was so much fun getting to play and actually compete again.
Yeah, competing is, I mean, coming back to competition, I think, is always one of the most fun things you can do as a former
Oh,
athlete.
100%, yeah.
It do be like that. Shout out to Scottie Scheffler for winning the Masters, and congratulations, I think, on being a dad.
Yep.
Good job, pal. The Braves kind of made me depressed Saturday, losing to the Florida Marlins, or the Miami Marlins now.
Yeah,
so that was
Florida.
That was sad.
They're always Florida in my head.
Yeah, they still play in Florida, but a certain big bear went big fish hunting, so that was exciting. So shout out to one of the best teammates in baseball.
Yeah,
He
so
shall not
I
be
went
named.
to I went to two games this weekend, actually. That was a lot of fun. I met got to meet some
Nice.
cool people that I finally got to meet my boss from Mesmerized, which is awesome. I feel like I've seen this dude online for, I don't know, probably a decade at this point. I finally got to meet him in person. So shout out to Mike and everyone who came to the game on Saturday. And then I went yesterday at Sunday to the Dwight Gooden jersey retirement ceremony
Nice.
and the game with my brother and my dad. Both games are against the Royals. So actually, as of today, I think I've seen all 30 teams play in person. I haven't been to all 30 parks, but the Royals were the last team. I didn't get to go to any games in the 2015 World Series. So that was fun. I got to see my first win of the season. Takes me, I feels like they always lose the first few games I go to. So
I mean,
yeah,
I get that 100%.
I got to see a win, and it was just a good time. It cleared up on Sunday after it started raining during the Dwight Gooden ceremony, but turned into a beautiful day. I'm turning 24 in a couple days, so looking forward to that. Unfortunately,
Happy
it's going
early
to get
birthday.
rain. Thank you. It's going to be rainy and windy on Thursday, unfortunately. So, and the Mets don't play. At least that means the Mets can't ruin my birthday.
This is a good point.
So
patiently
there's
waiting
that.
for a rain out so they can ruin your birthday.
Yeah, actually, well, maybe they'll get rained out on Wednesday, but it's going to be so ugly on Thursday. I don't know how they play. But anyways, we are trying a new segment on the show today. It's called Trend or Dead End, where we're going to be talking about various things going on in baseball, and we're going to give our takes on whether they're going to keep trending or it's going to come to an end soon. So let's get started with our first one. And the team with the best record in baseball right now are the New York Yankees, 12-4, even after yesterday's tough extra inning defeat against the Guardians. They lead all of baseball with a .750 winning percentage. So prompt number one, trend or dead end, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. Let's go to Alex first on this. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say that this is going to be a trend for a little bit. Like, I think that they're a little overhyped at the moment, but looking at their lineup, it's astoundingly good to see what they're doing. Anthony Volpe is hitting right now .382 with Juan Soto being batting .344 and also has, what, yeah, drawn 15 walks. The only one who's walked more than him on the team is one Aaron Judge here with 16 walks. But no, looking at the team, everyone's firing on all cylinders. There's only a few players that you could say are really kind of holding down at all. Like Gleyber Torres is only batting .203, Austin Wells .115. And Judge right now is still having kind of an interesting year right now, only batting .207, but still is walking a ton at the plate and is one of the team leaders in homers. But I'm going to tell you one of the big reasons why I think that they're doing as well as they are is on Carlos Stanton. Stanton is one of the players we keep talking about can be a bit of a linchpin where he can either ruin your team or make your team. And so far, played pretty darn good. Right now, he's got .250 batting average and has already clubbed four homers. On top of it, right now, taking a look, he has 9 RBIs, not near the team lead, but he does have one of the highest OPSs at one OPS plus, excuse me, at 134. Yeah, the highest one is Anthony Volpe currently at 199 and Soto at 191. But the fact that you have of your starting nine around, seven of them have an OPS of over 100 is that's pretty darn good. It's really going to come down to, in my opinion, whether or not Volpe continues where he's at right now and Giancarlo Stanton continues to bat just around what he's doing right now. He doesn't need to hit 300, doesn't need to hit even 280. If he can keep in the 230 to 260 range, then I think he is going to be an excellent contributor on this team, making them even better and not wasting any level of a roster spot.
So in terms of trend or dead end, I think this is the trend for the rest of the season. I think the Yankees, I kind of underestimated them heading into the season, having such great levels of talent. You look around the diamond and you have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, of course, and then you have a guy that I think is a top five second baseman, Gleyber Torres. Anthony Volpe is having a great season to start. And it feels like just every piece like has a role, and this is different to me, at least, from teams in the last few years for the Yankees, that everyone has a role and they are all pretty good at that role. And one guy I want to highlight is Austin Wells, actually. He hits the snot out of the ball. He has a 204 wOBA right now, which is very bad. That's last on the team among qualifiers. But he has a 413 expected wOBA, including a 560 expected slug. That's first on the team in expected slugging, second on the team in expected wOBA behind Juan Soto. So even if Volpe and Giancarlo Stanton and Anthony Rizzo cool off a little bit, I think Austin Wells is a big time progression candidate. I think Gleyber Torres has struggled a bit this season, is also a big time progression candidate. And then you look at the bullpen, you look at the pitching staff, and even without Gerrit Cole, I think it's still a sturdy enough staff. You have Mr. Throw Off Your Timing, Nestor. Marcus Stroman's worked to a 2.12 ERA. Carlos Rodon has worked to a 1.72 ERA. Clay Holmes has yet to allow a run in eight appearances. Ian Hamilton's been very good. Caleb Ferguson's been generally pretty good, I think he allowed the game-winning runs yesterday. Victor Gonzalez. Nick Birdie, the Yankees and Matt Blake, their pitching coach, have figured out how to generate outs. They have just simply figured out how to generate outs. They have a lot of high leverage relievers. They pull out of nowhere, full credit to them, and they just get all the ground balls. They don't have enough swing and miss. Shout out to Yankees Files. They don't have the world famous swing and miss, if you will, but they get a lot of ground balls. And like Clay Holmes is one of the best relievers in the sport. It was a oversight on my part to not have him in the top five. Just the strikeout rate, not insane, but the ground ball rate is preposterous. He just gets out of it. And I don't necessarily disagree when Yankees Files says he's like the modern day Mo Rivera equivalent, even though that's kind of sacrilegious to say. So the
Stole that.
Yankees will be
Yeah.
the best team in the American League the rest of the way.
I do want to say
So,
one last thing on
yep.
this real quick, and this is not like adding anything real to it. Shout out to WSU alum Ian Hamilton, doing great work with them too.
Yeah, Hamilton's looked great. So I went and saw the Yankees play last week, and I'm going to say this is a trend. I mean, I saw Rodon dice up the Marlins. He looked really good. I think Rodon and Stroman can both be all-stars this year. I will say this, I'm not expecting them necessarily to, win over 100 games or anything, but they look really good right now. And I don't think Anthony Volpe will hit 380 this year or have an OPS over 1,000, but I do think it's realistic to believe Anthony Volpe can be an all-star this year. Maybe he'll even start the all-star game. I know Yankee fans are really passionate, so they'll probably vote for him a bunch of times. And his plate discipline has really improved, which is what I like. In addition to still being a good defender and still stealing bases, Juan Soto is still Juan Soto. Aaron Judge is off to a slow start, but he's going to pick up the pace, I think. And Austin Wells, like Splash said, he's not as bad as his numbers show right now. He doesn't have an extra base hit this year, but trust me, this dude's going to be very good. And he works well with the pitching staff. And then, yeah, they haven't even pitched Gerrit Cole this year because he's been hurt. And their bullpen, Yankee fans were complaining about Clay Holmes after the first series, which is crazy to me. You'd think his ERA is like 10 and a half the way they talk about him, but he's actually really good. So I think it's realistic. We see Holmes, Rodon, Stroman, Volpe. Soto, Judge, see all those guys in the All-Star game. I'll be honest, it kind of reminds me of 2022. So I say it's a trend. Maybe they won't win over 100 games, but they're going to be a strong contender for the American League. So let's move
Yeah,
on to,
I can see
yeah.
it.
So let's move on to our second topic. And it revolves around your Seattle Mariners, Alex, which is their offensive struggles. It's been, let's say, yeah, it's been a struggle so far. So trend or dead end, Mariners' offensive struggles, are they going to persist? I went Alex first last time, so Splash, give me your take on the Mariners' offense.
So in terms of trend or dead end, I do think this is a bit of a dead end. It's called April at T-Mobile Park. So I'm not super concerned the way the rest of the season. Now, I still don't think the Mariners are going to make the playoffs or anything crazy. Also, what's the outlook on Dom Canzone? I know he like had a pretty solid encounter
He's
with the
going on the
wall
IL.
yesterday.
Yeah,
Okay.
he's interested. They found out that he has a sprained shoulder joint,
Oof. Oh
so he's
yeah.
gonna be out for a bit, which was weird because like looking at that hit, it didn't look like it was that bad, and he was able to get up and move under his own power. But honestly, this one, it's a lot. It's better in my opinion to keep safe. It just sucks because he's been batting so well in spring
Yes.
training, and he's already clubbed. I think he's right now tied for the lead in home runs.
Yeah, he's the only Mariner with more than five plate appearances with an OPS that begins with an eight or higher. So everyone's scuffling. I don't think that's going to continue. Cal Raleigh is not a sub 600 OPS player. Ty France is not a 628 OPS player. Jorge Polanco, et cetera. Julio Rodriguez with a 441 OPS. That's not going to continue. Sorry. So they'll be better. They're going to be better than a 75 OPS plus. And I think that'll turn up probably May 1st. The next couple of weeks are probably going to be rough, and they're going to need like George Kirby to be like God and Logan Gilbert and Luis Castillo, who was okay yesterday, allowed a two-run shot to Michael Busch that kind of let the game get away. Their bullpen's been pretty solid. Gabe Spire, Ryan Stanek, but offensively, two more weeks to cold, and then it's sort of like the groundhog thing. But the Mariners' offense, like, oh, hi, we can do things now. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is one that hurts. Obviously, I'm on the end path. Like, I don't think this will continue. I think even maybe sooner than May 1st would be very nice, please. But no, like, I'm looking at what they're doing right now, and it just feels like they're wasting opportunity. Like, that's the real key to this issue right now, is that they are wasting opportunities that are being gifted to them. Looking at the team right now, of their main guys, there are only a few that have an OPS plus of over 100. And believe it or not, right now, the team's leader in OPS plus, according to baseballreference.com, is Josh Rojas. Your platoon third baseman, Josh Rojas, is your leader in OPS
Just the way you
plus.
draw it up.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. One of the guys you got in the, I will say, the best players for the Mariners this year, currently so far, are guys that you got in the trade for Paul Sewald here, as Ross was batting phenomenally, well as, well, not phenomenally, but was batting well as Dominic Canzone. But no, I'll just say right now, the biggest issue with this team right now is leaving runners on base. Like, I've been watching these games, and it seems like they're getting guys on, whether it be a walk, whether it be hit by pitch, single, double, whatever. They're getting guys on base, but can't bring them in. And that's the big issue right now, is that they cannot bring them in. Their pitching has actually been pretty all right. Castillo has struggled. I will not deny that. Castillo has struggled. But one guy has really impressed on the starting rotation, and his name is Bryce Miller. Bryce Miller has been on fire as of late. Currently, right now, has a starting pitcher leading 197 ERA plus. Like, he has looked every bit as advertised that we saw going into this offseason. Pitching is not the issue here. Although I will say, if you would have told me going into 2024 that, what, 20 games into the season, your best reliever by ERA plus would be Trent Thornton, I would have laughed at you. I would have 100% just laughed at you. But no, yeah, Thornton has been awesome through 7 2/3. Right now, a 3.40 ERA plus. Like, cool, great. Your bullpen has done its job. It comes down to can the offense do the job? And right now, when you look at a lineup that has Raleigh, France, Polanco, Crawford, Rojas, Julio, Mitch Haniger, Mitch Garver, it's going to trend up. Like, if it doesn't, this would be probably one of the most historically trashed seasons of all time.
Yeah, really, I think that there's too much talent on this roster for this issue to persist. So I'm going to agree with you guys. This is a dead end here. I'm not saying that they're gonna, today magically, boom, they're gonna, 10 runs a game all of a sudden. But I mean, I'm looking at their splits. First of all, as a team, they have a 590 OPS this year. That's just not gonna cut it.
Nope, yep, not
But
gonna
also, they're hitting 191 with men on base, and only 238 with a 635 OPS with runners in scoring position. So, I mean, those splits are just not good. You're not going to contend with that. But we saw this last year. We saw this the year before. They get off to slow starts sometimes. I mean, last year they had that crazy month of August to get them back into contention. The year before, they rattled off a long winning streak before the All-Star break. I think this team is too good to not turn a corner, but it might not happen immediately, like Splash said. It is cold. It is the ball doesn't always carry. It's a spacious ballpark. So I think, and also they've had sort of a tough schedule, I feel like, to open the season. So I think the Mariners can turn this around. I don't know when it'll start, but the other thing is it does get late early sometimes, the way Yogi Berra said. So they, in an AL West, yes, the AL West has struggled this year, but you can't expect to keep the Astros down forever, or the Rangers for that matter. The Rangers haven't been perfect so far, so I think the Mariners are going to turn things around. Let's move on to
One thing
our
I
next
do want to
subject.
say, I
Yeah,
want to
go
add
ahead.
one last thing to this. Like you were saying
Yep.
right now, the Mariners right now are fully being bailed out by the fact that the AL West has been garbage so far this year. Right now, the Rangers have the lead at a 500 record. Like, if you would have told me that before the season, I would have laughed at you. But
But
no, the fact that it
the A's
goes,
have won 6 of 8, just saying.
they have won 6 of 8, they're 7-9 right now, and
Yep.
the Mariners are 6-10.
Mason Miller
Like,
throws heat.
dude, Mason Miller's throwing 103.
Yeah, no, he's
Like,
nasty.
I respect the hustle, man. I respect it. Hopefully, he doesn't go down with anything, knock on wood. But no, like, I'm looking at this division, and right now, thankfully for Seattle's sake, all of the AL West is doing poorly right now. But you have to step it up. You can't just keep coasting on everyone else not doing well.
Yeah, exactly. So, they luckily for them, yes, there is time, and nobody has really rounded into form yet. The scary thing is the Astros haven't rounded into form yet, but they did just take 2 of 3 from the Rangers. So, yeah, that's why I think that team is still going to do damage. But let's
I
move
mean,
on
I
to
still think
yeah.
that the Rangers are very overhyped too, though.
Well,
But
the
that's me.
Rangers' offense, I feel like, is. I think the Rangers offense is better than they're performing right now, and I think their starting pitching is going to regress. That's the tough part. But yeah, that division's tough to gauge, I feel like. Like obviously the A's aren't gonna I don't think the A's are going to contend. I don't think the Angels are really gonna contend, but the three contenders, the Rangers, Astros, and Mariners, I expect more from. I think that's fair to
Yeah.
say.
I agree 100%.
So yeah, another hot bat right now, though, is someone who just got done facing the Mariners. That's Michael Busch, Cubs rookie, who they got in the offseason from the Dodgers. And I thought it was a great trade at the time. And it's looking good right now so far. And, our basically trend or dead end here is, can he keep it up? And I'll go first here. He's hitting .327 with a .393 on base percentage, a .694 slugging, 1,087 OPS. He's homered in 4 straight games. And you look at his Statcast page, and it's a whole lot of red. So I think this is a trend. Do I think he's necessarily in, close to an 1,100 OPS guy? No, but his xWOBA is 473. That's 98th percentile. Expected batting average of 319. That's 92nd percentile. Expected slugging 756. That's 99th percentile. Average exit velocity 93.1 miles per hour. That's 91st percentile. His barrel rate of 19.4, it is 97th percentile. His hard hit rate is 50%. His xWOBA 473, His WOBA 457. His ex-WOBAcon is 618. So there's a lot to like about Michael Busch. Yes, he's going to strike out, but he'll draw enough walks to weigh it out, I think, and he hits the ball hard enough where he's going to keep producing. And the Cubs, I think they got a bargain here. He was kind of buried on the depth chart in Los Angeles, so I'm really excited about Michael Busch. And yes, I think it's reasonable to expect him to at least contend for the Rookie of the Year. So, I mean, what do you guys make of Michael Busch? Because he's heating up.
Yeah, right now when it comes to Bush, I just watched this dude play and destroy the Seattle Mariner pitching. Like this dude on top of the home runs that he had, right? It just seems like he has this ability to put a game on his back. Like, don't get me wrong, like he's not a one-man team or anything, but when he hits the ball, it sounds different, and on top of everything, he motivates the team to do better. Like a lot of times when he comes up to the plate and he gets that hit, he's scoring on that very same play. Look at it right now. He already has 8 runs over his, what, 5 home runs? He gets on base and then he scores in. He doesn't even need to steal a base to get on base, or actually to get the scoring position. The dude just finds ways to keep going. Right now, a batting average at .327 is absolutely insane. With an on-base percentage of .393. That is astounding. I think this is going to be a trend. However, I want to be very clear about something. Rookies, a lot of the time, when they come up, they will start immediately wrecking shop. They will start immediately doing extremely well and will go from there. However, as soon as the scouting report comes onto them, they do nothing. They just fall apart. I mean, there's some really famous examples of this. My favorite one, though, being Jeff Francoeur. And sad times. But overall, like looking at what he does, the biggest issue I have with him right now is defense. Looking at what he does playing first base here, right? In the series against Seattle, he had multiple errors at first base, just not being able to pick the ball. I mean, yes, you could put him a DH and it'd be fine, but do you really want to have a young kid right now be your DH? Do you really want to put him there every single day?
I mean,
Like,
a lot of teams do that with young players, though. I mean, there's some young DHs in the league right now.
there are, yes, but personally, my kind of opinion on it is that you would want to have an older guy or like a platoon mate be the DH a lot of the time. And when you have a young guy that you're expected to kind of put the franchise around, I don't think a lot of times you want to put a franchise around a DH. Unless you have a generational one like Edgar Martinez was. So at this point, like, I don't want to. He really needs to clean up that defense. If he can clean up the defense, this guy's going to be an all-star this year.
So trend or dead end, I think this is a solid trend. I think Michael Busch will be a good player the rest of the season. I would recommend to pitchers stop throwing him sliders. He has a expected slugging of 1.182 on those. He's
Ooh.
actually slugging 1500. That's an
Yeah.
800 WOBA, by the way.
Dang.
So that's like better than how Mookie Betts was starting. Don't throw him fastballs either. He has a 442 WOBA there. Attack him with curveballs, 180 WOBA, sinkers, 225 WOBA, and then like splitters and sweepers. He's only seen a handful of those. Cutters, 763 WOBA, so maybe don't throw those. So he's been excellent against all three pitch types, all three predominant pitch types. He has a actual slugging of 667 or higher and expected slugging of 618 or higher. So I like the production with the bat, and I think that will continue. I can agree with Alex's defensive concerns. You know, he's a 26-year-old first base only in that infield at least. But your DH spot is blocked by Christopher Morel, and Morel is perhaps even worse defensively than Michael Busch. And if you remove Busch from the equation, that means you have to have Morel in your infield alignment. And his best defensive position is probably one that's already taken up by one of Cody Bellinger, Dansby Swanson, or Nico Hoerner. So that forces him to play third. And while you'd like Morel to play third, and you'd like Bush to play first, so then you can have that DH spot as as an opening, as like a, yeah, let's get, you know, a half day, quote unquote, for Cody Bellinger or Saya or Hap or Stansby or Nico or whomever, right? Having that versatility that the Angels, for example, covet a lot, how that they do no longer have the services of Mr. Ohtani. But the offensive or the defensive issues with both Morel and Bush could cause trouble. This is a Cubs team that in theory has a great defense. You know, you have Suzuki, who I think is a good defender. Bellinger's a plus defender. Swanson's a gold glover. Nico's a gold
Corner,
glove-ish
yeah.
player. But this is a team that also kind of folded down the stretch last year defensively. They were making uncharacteristic errors, uncharacteristic misplays. Good job, Seiya Suzuki. Thank you for that. So I think Bush will continue to hit. I do have the long-term defensive concerns, and he's a guy that could probably play third base. He doesn't have a very good arm. That's an issue. Although that's sort of a Dodgers and Cubs thing that they don't need their third baseman to have like hoses. But I think he'll hit. I think Cubs fans could put him into the All-Star game. I wouldn't exactly be surprised there. Although he would have to beat out Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, Pete Alonso, and the likes, Bryce Harper. So maybe that's a tough ask, but he's been a great player so far this season.
Yeah, and
One thing I do
that's
want to say to
right.
you,
I like the deal though. Like, you know,
can I say
I
one thing real quick?
yeah, go ahead.
About Christopher Morel, you're saying do not tell Mariner fans that he's not good at defense. He is solely the reason why the Cubs won that second game of the series.
So this is
Because
like a Nick Castellanos for Braves fans.
exactly, yeah. Just don't
Yeah,
tell Mariner
right.
fans that he's not good at defense because he made two of the most incredible third base run saving plays I've ever seen.
Thing. And
So.
also, I forgot that the Cubs also have Garrett Cooper, who is kind
Yeah.
of a DH type. So that's a lot of corner infield guys who aren't necessarily known for their glove. That's, I mean, I think Bush, I mean, he was a second baseman and a third baseman in the Dodgers organization. Obviously, the Dodgers at the time had Mookie Betts slated to play second, and they have Max Muncy at third. And both those guys can play actually sec. I mean, both those guys can play second. Betts obviously plays short now. Gavin Lux can play second. Like, there was too many options in LA, and Bush wouldn't have been an everyday player there. And now he's an everyday player, and he's balling out. Do I know what he's going to do with his glove going forward? Not quite sure. So, you know, that is a legitimate concern, but I like Bush's potential, and I can see him continuing to be great. Let's move on to a team that I just saw play this weekend. The Kansas City Royals are 10-6 right now. They are a game back as of right now of the Guardians, who are leading the Central. So, trend or dead end, are the Royals going to sustain this? Splash, I know you love talking about the Royals, so give me your take on Kansas City.
All right. I said this all off season, especially on Twitter, that the Royals made a lot of key additions to just kind of raise the floor of the team and of like cut out the bad innings that say Jordan Lyles would give you or Zach Greinke would give you, and the bad plate appearances that literally everyone in Royals blue gave you last season. So, trend or dead end? I think this is a trend. I think the Royals will be an above 500 ball club this season. Playoffs, maybe, maybe not. It is a weird division. Cleveland's been really good so far, despite dropping 2 out of 3 against a branded red hot Yankees team. But I just love the progression from the likes of Bobby Witt Jr., of course. And while Michael Garcia has fallen off a cliff with his offensive production, he's been great defensively, which I could have told you. I know FanGraphs and these projection systems were kind of universally low on the Royals. I think I was listening to FanGraphs, effectively Wild, and they're like, oh, the Royals are like a bottom three, bottom five projected defense. It's like, I do not see it. I think Bobby Witt's a plus defender. I think Michael Garcia is a plus defender. I think Kyle Isbell was my gold glove pick, not Lou Bob, not J-Rod, not Kiermaier. Kyle Isbell. Hunter Renthro, yes. Salvador Perez has been inexplicably good defensively this season, so good job for him. But one guy I want to take a look at is MJ Melendez, who's been a huge breakout candidate. As of recording, a 168 OPS plus, a 945 OPS. He's already hit 3 home runs, 5 doubles, is walking enough. He has a 370 on base. So players like that are taking the step from like okay players to good players. That's key. Replacing bad players with somewhat productive players is also helpful. You've gotten a solid year out of Nelson Velasquez so far. Of course, Bobby Witt's playing like the best player in the American League. Salvador Perez still doesn't walk, which is sad. And I do not like the Hall of Fame narratives around him. I think Brian McCann and Russell Martin, and among others, clear. But yeah, 165 OPS plus this night. Vinny Pasquantino took Edwin Diaz deep yesterday, which Mac, you can speak to if you'd like to. But 700 OPS now for the Italian breakfast. Sasquatch, I just like how many good baseball players the Royals have right now. And last year, that wasn't the case. He still had the Salvis and the Vinnies. He missed most of the season, and Witt. And I like Garcia and Melendez, but it just felt you had so many bad plate appearances. You had so many bad innings on the mound. And I think you've replaced that. And look at this pitching staff. They have a cumulative 3.04 ERA. Even Jordan Lyles has been good this season, so I don't know how long that continues, with all due respect to Jordan Lyles, but I like him as a long man in your bullpen, or a like a low leverage reliever, not as a your headline starter. But Cole Reagan sub-2 ERA, Seth Lugo sub-1.5 ERA, Brady Singer sub-1 ERA, Michael Wacha and Alec Marsh are your quote-unquote bad starters, and they both have an ERA plus around 100, so, and FIPs even lower than that. I'm a big fan of this Royals team, what they're doing. I think they're going to be a 82 to 84 maybe win ball club, potentially more given the AL Central, but they are going to be a 25 win improvement potentially over their 56 wins last year.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here because, like I said, I watched them play this weekend, and while I don't necessarily think they're as good as their record shows right now, in a weak division where, it's kind of, I don't know if the Guardians can keep up their hot start either. The Twins have been hot and cold. The Tigers got off to that hot start, but have cooled off. The White Sox are the White Sox. I'm sorry, White Sox fans, but that team is, I feel like I've been finding them in headlines for all the wrong reasons. So just going to put that out there. But the Royals, I think this is a trend. Like Splash said, I don't know if this necessarily is a playoff team, but it's like night and day watching them from last year to this year. Bobby Witt Jr. felt like every time he came up, something happened this weekend. Salvador Perez homered twice. And so that's, by the way, that was his 250th career home run, the one that Brandon Nimmo tipped over the fence. But also, he hit a double in game three. He only came out of the game because he got spiked at home plate on a throw by Melendez, which, by the way, that was a perfect throw by MJ. Nelson Velasquez had a great second half after he got traded last year. So I think he's a legit power bat. Now, it's kind of a top heavy lineup. I'll say that much, because yeah, Perez, who's a 165 OPS plus, Bobby Witt Jr., 206, obviously, Melendez, 168, Velasquez, 144, but then it sort of drops off. And I think Pasquantino is going to be better than 102 OPS plus, but you don't know what you're going to get out of Adam Frazier or Maikel Garcia or Kyle Isbell or even Hunter Renfroe at this point offensively. Pitching wise, though, Cole Reagans is legit, and Seth Lugo is thriving as a starter now, which he always wanted to be a starter in New York, but there was no room for him. And he was so much better as a reliever. Brady Singer, I think, is a good arm. Michael Wacha had his first bad start of the year the other day, and it wasn't even that bad. And Alec Marsh is a solid number five starter. Their bullpen, James MacArthur, is a solid closer. He's taken over for Will Smith, who is off to a rocky start this year. Chris Stratton, I know, kind of lost the strike zone, but he's a solid arm. And Nick Anderson, I think, is going to be much better than his numbers show right now. So I think this is a team that can win anywhere between 75 and I'd say 88 games, and that might be enough to win the division. So this is a trend here. So Alex, what's your take?
So I agree that I think that they're going to have above 500 this season. I think they're playing well enough for it, and they could make a playoff push. However, I'm going to say end. And the reason for it is that, yes, they're making a huge improvement over last year, but I don't think it's to the level of like a 90-win season. Because right now, take a look at what they're doing. The record at this exact moment is 625. Right, they are 10-6 as of the time of this recording, one game behind the Guardians. Playing that way through, right? I don't know exactly what that trends to, in terms of over the course of the season, what that leads to. But From it still, I think that they are going to be above 500. The team itself has some very key players. Seeing Vinny Pasquantino finally play baseball again is awesome. Bobby Witt Jr. is on a war path after getting his major contract here, now with an OPS of over 1,000 here. But they're getting really good production from other players. Again, Nelson Velasquez, as you were saying, Salvador Perez has an OPS plus right now of 165. Here, there are some good guys on this team, but there's also some guys that are not producing. Hunter Renfro right now, an OPS plus of what, 54 here? And then on top of it, Adam Frazier was 75, Mariner legend, Adam Frazier. But don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good players there, and they're doing very well. But do you really expect Bobby Witt Jr. to continue at a 200 OPS plus? I don't. I don't even think I see Salvador Perez sticking at a 165. Like, and Vinny
Well, that's not
Pasquantino.
going to happen. I'm
Exactly.
just going to say
And
that
I
now.
think Vinny Pasquantino, I think, could go higher from his 102 if he gets consistent playing time and stays healthy. But there's a lot of question marks I have with the team. Pitching wise, it's actually kind of funny. I was listening to some of our old podcasts last night, and Mac, you brought up a point saying that you think that Cole Reagans could be an ace level starter. And well, he's proven you're right there, buddy. He's doing exceptionally well right now with a 1.93 ERA. But one thing that's really good to see here is the top three starters, Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, and Brady Singer, all have an ERA of under two. Under two is impressive, is not a strong enough word for that. Now, I do have issues with the bullpen as they have two good arms so far in Angel Zerpa as well as Matt Sauer when it comes to ERA pluses. Will Smith with an ERA plus of 35 is really bad. Although, to be fair, it is
Already
Will
lost
Smith,
his
so
closer's role, yeah.
exactly. Yeah. Although, to be fair, it is Will Smith, so they're going to win the World Series anyway. But yeah, I don't think they're going to be a 90 win team. I think they'll be above 500, which, as we said, could win the division. But they are going to be definitely benefited by the fact that they are in a division here with the Guardians, Tigers, Twins, and the No Sox. Like, what more do you want at that point? You're at this point right now, the Chicago White Sox feel like an easy win. So when they are 2-13. At that point, there are teams in the NBA or there are teams in hockey that have more wins right now than the White Sox do, just in the same time period.
Yeah,
Also, UConn
so
basketball does go Huskies, baby.
yeah, you, as I was gonna say, UConn basketball has more wins since opening day than the White Sox. So I'll say this much about the AL Central, which is that while it's not a good division necessarily, there are teams like the Royals and the Tigers, and I guess to a certain extent, the Guardians that are on the upswing. I sort of think the Twins, I think the Twins should still be the favorites to win the division, but they've sort of struggled and Royce Lewis got hurt on opening day. So that kind of put a damper on my expectations for Minnesota. I think, like I said, the Royals, I think they're a solid enough team where in a weak division, they could pull something off and win it. Let's move on to our last trend or dead end. And I'll go back to you, Alex, because you just watched him pitch over the weekend, which is Shota Imanaga. He has yet to allow a run in the majors through his first couple starts. So trend or dead end, is he the rookie of your favorite?
Right now, he is. I think he's the rookie of your favor. However, I am going to say dead end, though. And the reason for this being is that watching him pitch, he pitched very well. And I'm going to bring this a little bit more into spec here. There is one thing that he did exceptionally well in his start, and that was locating pitches. Like, watching him do, we talk about painting corners and we talk about getting pitches that are out of the zone. Imanaga was amazing at that. I felt like every time he threw his fastball or his fork or something like that, it would be right on the corner. And it's like, that is a perfect pitch. I was listening to the broadcast of it and Blowers, I lost track of the amount of times he said, yeah, that's a perfect pitch. That's a perfect pitch. And he just kept doing it over and over and over again. I do think, though, that there is going to be a point where it comes to a head. We haven't seen as well what happens when he does give up a run. We don't see how well he's able to hold himself. We've seen him be able to hold himself is in pressure situations. Not saying he hasn't, but I want to see what's going to happen when he does get put under fire. If the best starters are not the ones that leave nobody on, those best starters are the ones that know how to work out of their own jams, too. Like, I want to see what he's going to do. And this is just me personally, right? He has one of the oddest pitch mixes out there with his fastball, I believe. Is it a splitter or is it a fork, technically?
Splitter, I
Listed as
think.
a
Splitter.
splitter. Splitter,
Yeah.
yeah, splitter. But then his curveball is one of the most interesting pitches I've seen, where it almost looks more like an aphis at this point, where like he has a fastball that's coming in the mid to high 90s, a splitter that's in the low 90s, and then the curveball just kind of whoops in there. Like, it looks weird at that point. He barely throws it, but it's such a good deception pitch. I don't think he's going to be like, I don't think the zero ERA even continues through April, but I do think that he has an excellent foundation right now and has a very good chance to win Rookie of the Year, especially since right now he is competing against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. But right now, Imanaga is looking like he's better right now.
So for now, depending on the site you use, Imanaga is either the third or fourth in NL Rookie of the Year odds behind Yamamoto Churio, and then again, depending on the site, Jackson Merrill. I think that's fair. He was my preseason pick, and obviously he's done nothing to dissuade me from picking him. There is a little bit of cause for concern under the hood. He gets whacked, 93.5 average exit velocity against, 53.7% hard hit rate, and he doesn't get a lot of ground balls. So those are obviously issues. But I mentioned this when he signed with the Cubs, that the fly ball profile for Imanaga is not always the worst thing when you pitch at Wrigley Field for half of your starts. So I think there will be some, depending on when he's starting, if the wind's blowing out, we might get cooked. If the wind's blowing in, like it has been his first couple starts, or pitching in Seattle in April, might as well be pitching on like Jupiter. I think he's going to do just enough to be really a really good starter and have a potentially a Kodai Senga-esque season. And with this start, it might end up being better than Kodai Senga was last year, although that's a lot to ask for Imanaga. 3.06 expected ERA. He gets a lot of chases, 33% chase rate. Despite not having crazy velocity, he gets plenty of strikeouts, 27% clip, and he doesn't walk batters, which I value. And to Alex's point that it depend how Imanaga's season unfolds is going to depend on how he bounces back from when he does allow runs, if he lets it, spiral out of control, or if he nips it there. One way to not allow many runs is to not walk guys. So when you do allow that home run, it's not a two-run shot or a three-run shot. It's a solo shot. And as Justin Verlander can attest, solo shots will not kill you, or even Gerrit Cole can attest. It's the two and three-run shots and the grand slams that kill you. And I think Imanaga should do a decent enough job of keeping the ball in the strike zone and preventing those extra runs. So I think the trend is going to continue here, and that I think he's going to be a serious. He should get plenty of consideration for National League Rookie of the Year. He might not win it, but I think he will be a top three, top five guy for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Splash here. My one concern, I guess, is his incredibly low ground ball rate of 22% right now. But I like what I see from him. He's not a hard thrower, but he knows how to mix his pitches very well, and get his whiffs and get his strikeouts. So is he gonna have a 0.00 ERA all year? I'm obviously not. But can I see it being closer to the 3.06 that his expected ERA is right now? Yeah, 100%. I think I could see him being around a 3 to 3.5 ERA guy, maybe a bit lower, maybe a 2.8 or something. And I think he will definitely get rookie of the year votes. Right now, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is not off to a great start. Paul Skeens is not in the majors right now. There a lot of the guys who we expected to contend for rookie of the year are either not in the majors or not necessarily performing up to standards. So I think it's fair to say Imanaga will at least be a finalist this year for the rookie of the year. So that's the end of our trend or dead ends, let us know what you guys think. Did we miss anything? Do you think we're wrong? Let us know at LAR_baseball on Twitter. But now we're going to bring back an old segment called Rant Roulette, and Alex has those terms ready for us. So take it away, Alex.
Yes, I do. And hopefully soon we'll have a bumper so we actually intro into the segment. But we'll see. Hello, everyone. It's now time for Rant Roulette. Our esteemed podcast here has put together a list of a bunch of topics, some baseball related, some not. And it is going to be random which one you get. And whatever you get, just talk for about a minute on however long you want to on it. So I have a dice with me here. One through two, one or two, I will start it. Three or four, Mac will go. Five or six, Splash will go. So on the roll of the dice, it is four. So Mac, you will be the first one to go. And
All
your
right.
topic for Rant Roulette is, do you like Anthony Volpe as a leadoff hitter?
As a leadoff hitter, yes, actually, I think so. His plate discipline is much improved from last year. He's fast too, and he has a little bit of pop. I think he does everything you want to be a leadoff hitter. I think I like watching Brandon Nimmo bat leadoff for the Mets. I think Volpe's like that, but he's a bit faster. So yeah, 100%. I think Volpe should be the Yankees' everyday leadoff hitter.
Yep, no, that tracks. I completely get it. He's hitting so dang well right now, too. Like, you might as well keep riding the hot hat, right?
Yep, 100%.
I will say that I wish Juan Soto was the leadoff hitter, but if it's not Juan Soto and not Aaron Judge by proxy, Volpe, I think, is the option.
All right, I'm gonna roll the die one more time here. One through three will be me. Four through six will be Splash. Rolling the dice, it is five. So Splash, you will be going next. And your question is as follows. Is this finally the year that the Pirates' hot start will put them in playoff contention?
Contention, yes. Playoffs at large, I'm going to lean no. I think this could be a similar to where I had the Royals, an 80 to 83 win ball club. That depends on what you want to get out of Jarrett Jones. If that's more of a Garrett Crochet situation, that you're just going to let him spend his bullets early in the season, or if it's more of a Yuri Perez situation that you send him down in the middle of the year, you are really do you want him starting every fifth day for the whole season? He did throw enough innings last year in AAA that I could see him pitch the entire season, could see him throw 160 innings with the big league club this year. But I don't know if you want to push it this year, and I don't know how much you're going to push it with Paul Skeens. It looks like you're kind of just, we'll throw him for three innings here in Indianapolis. And you're kind of trying to save bullets, but also get him AAA innings. It's this weird divide. And of course, I like the lineup with Hayes and Sawinski and Andrew McCutchen, who's not a Hall of Famer, but neither here nor there. Rowdy Tellez is a wonderful teammate. He had a clip after they blew a game, after David Bednar blew a game. He's like, he's one of the best closers in the game. We have his back. Like, big time respect for Rowdy Tellez. So, I think the Pirates are a good vibes team. I think they could win like 83 games.
Yeah,
Yep, I
I'll
get that.
say I really hope the Pirates do keep this going. I don't necessarily think this is their year. Maybe it's next year, but they're so fun to watch, and I think that baseball is better when Pittsburgh is a baseball town. So,
Agreed.
it's like Baltimore too. Like it was awesome seeing the Orioles have a resurgence and Baltimore become a baseball town again. Same with Cincinnati, and I hope the same thing happens to Pittsburgh.
Okay, Alex, if you're ever on the East Coast, the three of us should go to PNC Park.
Oh, 100%. I want to
Why,
do.
by the way, amazing ballpark.
And at Bleacher Report, it is the best ballpark in baseball. It is certainly in the top three.
It's up there. Yeah,
Your fraudulent
I think it's number
list,
one for me.
yeah, your fraudulent list is not okay.
Fair enough. All right, I'm gonna move on. Where next? I'm the one who has to go, and my topic is as follows: what are the top five emojis? And
This is fantastic.
this is, yeah, not a baseball question, but I like it. All right, number one for me is the crying laughing emoji. The one that I use that I think more than any other emoji. I use it multiple times in one sentence. Absolutely beautiful. Next one, bit of a controversial pick. I like to flirt, so doing the wink with the kiss is a great emoji to use. It's also really fun to use to troll people.
No comment.
Fair enough.
Troll.
Next up, next one, to be even more of a degenerate, the peach. Peach is a really good fruit, isn't it, guys?
I
Anyway,
mean, it's one of my
you
favorite fruits.
are
I'm just
off the
saying.
wall, Alex.
I'm doing great. I don't know what you're talking about. Next up is the 100 emoji.
Oh,
Very easy,
yes.
good one to use.
Easy,
Here,
yes.
it's just go. It means so many different things that you can use it for. Absolutely fantastic. And then the last one, very simple. It's the heart. Just the simple red
Okay.
heart. This is a good
Oh,
one.
red heart. Now you lost me.
I mean, I like you doing the orange one personally, just for my own stuff. But the red heart
Purple
just is a little
clears.
easier.
Purple
Incorrect.
clears.
Incorrect.
I'm a big fan of
Also,
the blue one, but
blue
yeah.
one's a nice one, yeah.
They have new emojis. They have like a nodding your head yes, shaking your head no emoji, a lime
Yeah.
emoji, a
Oh.
running in the opposite direction, and a
I'm
brown
personally a big
mushroom.
fan of the bacon emoji.
Bacon emoji is quite
Ooh,
good.
good one. My
Yeah.
number one used emoji is the skull emoji.
Yeah, that
Of
was a, that
course,
tracks. That
yes.
tracks.
Yeah, so skull and then
Yeah.
the crying laughing and then currently the wood emoji, but that was out of context. The
Yeah.
shrug and a goat emoji.
One emoji that I left out but was close to the list was just the big red X emoji. Like
Oh, nice. Yeah.
that's a really good one as well.
Yeah.
I also like the eyes emoji and they have the
Oh yeah,
Phoenix
the
emoji.
eyes, yeah. There's
Yes.
also one I use all the time, but I definitely really think it's a great emoji, but I use it is the hang loose.
Oh,
Or
same. Yeah, I
yeah, I
do.
use that all the time.
Yeah. So yeah, that those are our that's our rant roulette for today. And Alex, we're gonna keep it on you because you are hosting trivia today. So
I
let's
am.
do it.
All right, guys, it is trivia time, everybody's favorite segment, and I am leading it today for Matthias Olmakertesaki and Ryan Splash Putz. Where today, gentlemen, you guys will be playing a game that I am calling Trivia Team True or False. So I have 9 questions in front of me that are about team stats so far through 2024. Here, and I'm going to be reading out these statements one at a time here. We'll figure out who goes first, and you'll pick a number between 1 and 9. Here, that is the question that you will be receiving here on this. I'm not telling you what order the questions are in because you guys will be deciding that yourselves. Here, the first one to 5 points will be the winner, or whoever has more points through 9 questions. If you get the question wrong, the other person does not have a chance to respond because it's true or false. There's only 2 responses. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them as long as I'm not giving away the answer. Are there any questions you guys have?
Mm,
Sounds
sure.
straightforward.
Let's go ahead.
Yep, pretty straightforward. So I'm gonna roll one more die here. And Mac, you will be 1 through 3. Splash, you will be 4 through 6. It is a 1. So Mac, would you like to go first or would you like to defer?
I'll go first.
You'll go first. All right, give me a number between 1 and 9.
Five.
Number 5. All right. The Brewers lead Major League Baseball in home runs. True or false?
I'm gonna go true.
That is incorrect. It
God.
is the Dodgers that lead
What?
it with
That makes
25.
sense, yeah. Well, it helps if they played extra games. Yeah.
Extra game
Exactly.
merchants.
Exactly. All right. So still no points on the board. Splash, it is now your pick.
We'll go six.
Number 6. Okay. Another offensive question here. But just getting it put together here. Yep. Two teams, well, true or false, two teams in the NL West are tied for the league lead in runs.
I am going to lean with false.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It is true, as the Dodgers and the Padres are both tied with 96 runs.
Two teams who have played the most.
Exactly. It's the Soul Series, but they're tied
I'm
exactly the
kind of
same.
surprised they're at tied, actually.
Yeah, say I was too when I was making this. All right, no points on the board yet. Back, it is back to you.
Let's go with number three.
Number 3. Ah, here we go. Over half the teams in Major League Baseball have double-digit stolen bases.
Oh man. I'm gonna I'm gonna go false here.
That is your first point.
Let's
Congratulations. It
go.
is 13 out of the total of 30 Major League Baseball teams. Here, the divide on this one is between the Atlanta Braves, who have 10, and the Dodgers, who have 9.
There you go.
So first point on the board here goes to Max Splash. It is your turn to respond.
Number one.
Numero uno. This one here is another offensive question. There are no teams, well, true or false, there are no teams with a team batting average under the Mendoza line, 200.
This has to be false.
That is, in fact, false here.
Yeah, I
And
figured.
actually, to be fair, I'm calling an audible on this one because at this exact moment right now, when I wrote this, by the way, it was true that the Chicago White Sox were the lowest team at 200. Since started recording this, the Twins have lowered theirs to 185.
Oh, Mike.
Wait, what?
Brother,
Was there a
what?
scoring change?
There has to be or something
Yeah.
because, like, I was looking at earlier at the bottom of the list was 200. So I
All right,
guess
well, there
that's
you go.
true.
A shout out to the Bomba Squad.
I guess so. All righty then. So you guys are tied at one now. Mac,
All
your
right,
go.
let's go with the number Derek Jeter, number two.
Number two, Derek Jeter. Number two. All right. For number two, the team with the highest team OPS is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay, I'm gonna go true here.
That is incorrect.
What?
The Dodgers are actually fourth here with the Atlanta
Oh,
Braves at
yeah, I
number
should have got
one.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, bow down, Bozo.
Ugh,
We are not going to
God.
talk about the three-game series between our teams. Act technically a
Yeah,
four-game
are you sure?
series, so it's not over yet. It's not over yet. We won't know the end of the series until September, but it's
All
not over
right.
yet. And hopefully the
Still
next time you
time.
don't get to start against Alan frickin'
Still tied 1-1. Splash, it is your turn.
Winans. What available numbers do we have?
We have 4, 7, 8, and 9.
Eight.
For number eight, the Oakland Athletics are tied for the lead in least homers given up.
I'll go with true.
That is correct. Here, the Oakland
Wow.
Athletics are actually in a three-way tie here for that with the Cleveland Guardians and the Kansas City Royals, but all three teams have only given up 9 homers this season. All
Good
right,
job, boys. All
Splash
right.
leads it 2-1. Mac, it is your turn.
Give me number four.
Number four, the Yankees lead the MLB in walks by double digits.
Whew. Oh, that second part makes this tough. I'm going to go with true. I mean, they have so many guys who draw walks and so many hitters that I feel like it has to be true.
It is true.
Let's
Here, they lead the
go.
Pittsburgh Pirates by 10,
Wow, the
84 to
Pirates are
74.
second. Okay.
All right, tie game again.
Number nine, please.
Number nine here, the Astros lead in free passes given up.
This feels so true. I
That
will go
is
true.
incorrect. It is the Miami
Oh.
Marlins lead it
Yep.
78 to
Tough.
74.
Tough.
Yeah, so very, very close. All right, tie ball game with one question left on the board. Here, Mac, if you get this right, I don't quite have an answer for this one here. We'll figure something out to give Splash another chance. If you do not,
All
we'll have to figure out a contingency plan. But I have an idea, so we're good to go there. All
right.
right, Mac, your last question. Here we go. In the top five in team ERA, three teams come from the AL Central.
Ooh. This is a major league lead, right?
Major League, yes.
I'm thinking about this and I have to go false.
That is incorrect. It is
What?
true. The Cleveland Guardians, Kansas City Royals, and Detroit Tigers are
Oh my
three, four,
God.
and five
I
in team
okay.
ERA, with teams one and two being the Boston Red Sox and
For some
the New York
reason
Yankees.
for some reason my brain went right to the Twins and I was like, they're underperforming. Nah. So yeah.
All right. So here's the question. I'm going to give a question here just for Splash. Splash, if you get this correct, you'll be today's winner. If not, we'll have to go to another sudden death.
Okay.
So here is your question. Along on the pitching side of things, what team has, excuse me, I want you to name one of the only five teams that have only one save. This is not true or false. I want you to name one of the teams because I'm having to make this up on the fly.
Okay, so there's a couple teams that have like limited number of wins, them being the White Sox and the Marlins, but I'm trying to think and make sure they don't have like two saves because I know the White Sox came back and beat Cleveland, and they got a save in the game against Atlanta. I am going to say that Chicago has multiple saves, so they would not be a correct answer. I'm going to go with Miami.
Splash, you are today's trivia
Ah,
champion
I knew
as
that
the
was right
Marlins.
away. Yeah,
Yeah,
God.
so the five teams are the Colorado Rockies, the Houston Astros, the Miami Marlins, San Francisco Giants, and the Texas Rangers.
The Giants and
The
Rangers, what?
Giants and
Wow.
Rangers only have one save right
I'm
now.
happy that I avoided that landmine because that was a pretty obvious, like,
Because
hey, the White
I
Sox have two wins.
yo, I
So.
the thing is, I know that Michael Kopech got the save in both their wins, so
One thing I will say, yeah, to make sure to ease any things, the White Sox did have two saves. So, yeah, that would have been an incorrect answer.
clutch gene activated. GG boys, GGs.
Yeah,
All right,
GG. Congrats again,
congratulations,
Splash.
Splash. Yep, good
He has
job.
beaten me once again. I don't know what it is. So,
I to be fair, I think you folded on the Dodgers OPS question.
yeah, I did. Let's wrap it up the way we wrap up every show, which is with the moment to ourselves, 60 seconds or so to talk about whatever is on our mind. Doesn't have to be baseball related. So, who here wants to go first? Alex, I saw your hand go up first. So, your time starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, kind of talking a little bit about what I said in the intro here, getting to compete again and playing in this tournament last weekend, I've still not come down from that high. And I didn't even know, like, I guess I was stupidly excited preparing for this, but I didn't really know how amazingly I was gonna feel about it until I was done with it, until I was there. This is something that I wish I could have gotten on in sooner. I understand why I haven't been, but man, if you've ever competed, like you play sports, all that kind of stuff, and you've been out for a while, give competing another chance here. I can't even begin to tell you just how happy I was in the fact that I could still compete at a high level. I didn't even win. I came in like the top 50% of my field, but you know what? That doesn't matter. I was out there competing and I was making a difference in my own game. I had such a good time. I recommend people do that. It's like at least compete if you're used to competing.
Yeah, and I mean that's why I got back into swimming so quickly after college. And I know some of my teammates took a long time off from competing, and then eventually you're just like, yeah, I want to do it again. So I completely get where you're coming from. Splash, do you want to go next or shall I go next?
Sure, I can go.
All right, your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
So, perhaps the most important player in the history of baseball is a player that ended his career with negative WAR, and that's Mo Berg. And for the uninitiated, why is he such a bad baseball player? Potentially the most important baseball player. That's because Mo Berg served as a spy for the OSS during World War II after his playing career. So, this is a guy that was like a backup catcher type, eventually a coach. And he would like read in his spare time. He would read in bullpen sessions. He would read in the dugout. He would just read and read and read. He knew all sorts of languages. He was a graduate from both Princeton and Columbia. He regularly read 10 newspapers a day, according to Wikipedia. Wikipedia. And he was used by the US government to spy during World War II. And I forget the exact story, but there was a situation that he was in Switzerland, and there was a German physicist. And if he was talking to the German physicist, and if the physicist had like raised any red flags about the Germans potentially having like an atomic bomb, Mo Berg was to kill the guy. And that is absolutely bananas. So shout out to Mo Berg.
And that's not a name that most people will recognize in baseball. Like even myself as a big baseball fan, like that's not a household name.
Yeah, he's definitely in the Stanislav Petrov class of people that not a well-known figure, but a critically important figure to the sustainability of the world.
So anyways, I'm gonna get started on mine in 3, 2, 1. So I just want to talk a second about power rankings across all sports. With all due respect to the people who put them out every week, I understand it's normally a panel of people, but I'm just a little confused right now. The Mets have won 7 of their last 10 games. The teams they beat were the Reds, the Braves, and the Royals. So this week, why did the Mets fall in the power rankings? They went from 23 to 24. They just took 2 games from the Royals and they rose 12 spots in the rankings. Hello? Anyone here? It just does not make sense to me. There are teams that have bad weeks and for some reason go up, and then you see teams have good weeks and they go down. I'm just confused. I'm not saying power rankings are useless, and I do respect the way, people come up with them. It's a lot of work. You have to rank 30 teams, or in some sports, 32 teams, but I just want it to make sense. That doesn't quite add up to me. So anyways, that will do it for our moment to ourselves. And that'll do it for today's show. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on our socials. Tell us what you think about what we said today and any of our shows. Tell us at LAR_baseball on Twitter and on Instagram, and on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe to Losses Above Replacement. You can follow our personal accounts. Follow myself at Matthias_A_K. Follow Alex at TheSportsGuy242. Follow Splash at MrSplashman19. Make sure to drop us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening. So, but from everyone at Losses Above Replacement, thank you for listening. Stay safe. I hope to see you all real soon.